Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of RealCom Live. We have got a phenomenal show today. About 4 or 6 weeks back, we had a panel of discussion, a couple of folks talking about in-building wireless, next-generation wireless, and we were introduced to a gentleman by the name of Radhan Chaudhry. He's the VP of Smart Cities for JBG Smith. And the conversation was so fascinating about what they were doing in National Landing, and we certainly did not get any chance, enough time to go in depth. We decided to bring him back and devote the whole episode to this incredible project that's going on near Washington, D.C. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you a brief video. It's the most efficient way for you to get an idea of the size and scope of this project. And when we're done, we're going to bring back Radhan and have an incredible conversation. So with that, National Landing.
This city was built on a vision by those who had the courage to look beyond the obstacles before them and see a future brimming with possibility. A promise of a place where collaboration is our greatest strength. Passion leads to progress, and the potential for discovery is limitless. Today, this vision is coming to life like never before, as here at National Landing, a new revolution is underway. A transformation of unrivaled scale, ushered in by Amazon, amplified by Virginia Tech, and established as the region's first smart city. A premier innovation district built by JBG Smith and driven by a desire to challenge people's perceptions of what an urban community can be. This is City Life Reimagined. A future world-class transit hub, just minutes from downtown DC, where people converge from around the globe. A reimagined office ecosystem, already offering more than 6 million square feet of flexible, on-demand, and newly built office space for tenants large and small, with another 2 million square feet of untapped development potential. Where 14 public parks and green spaces and enlivened streetscapes create a pedestrian playground of new opportunities to uncover and places to explore. And where modern residences redefine luxury living and remind us all what it means to truly feel at home. Here, we are creating an around-the-clock community of culture and entertainment, where each moment is a memory made, and experience is at the center of everything. As our vision continues to take shape, it reveals a new kind of neighborhood, one that challenges us to see our city from a different perspective and elevate our expectations for what it has in store. Join the momentum at National Landing and discover our city's future today.
All right, with that, I'd like to bring on Radhan Chaudhry, VP of Smart Cities with JBG Smith.
Hey, Jim, good to see you again. How are you?
Good to see you. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on.
So, I got to tell you, just watching that video and remembering our conversation that we had a few weeks back, what does it feel like to be involved with a project of that size and scope?
Well, Jim, I couldn't be more thrilled, to be honest with you. And as you know, when we spoke last time, I'm actually somewhat of a new member of the JBG Smith team. I'm actually coming up on 3 months as an official employee. I've been working with JBG Smith prior to that for over a year as a consultant. And, you know, when the opportunity arose to sort of really jump in and be part of this team, it was a no-brainer. So I couldn't be more thrilled. It's we've been focused on smart cities and trying to, leverage a physical canvas for innovation. And the one that we have here at National Landing is unparalleled. So
So your background, I mean, you were with Accenture, correct? And you've touched the smart city, smart building world throughout your career. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. Jim, it's amazing we had, cross paths on our various global tours. But yeah, come by way of Accenture, been focused on this topic of smart cities, which, is a bit of a buzzword, as we all know. The puck has been moving on what smart could really mean. But really at the intersection of urban places, the Internet of Things, and robust connectivity infrastructure has been where we've been focused for many of us, actually, in this what ends up being a small world for years. And what we're doing in National Landing, I'm very confident, we're very excited, we think is going to be the blueprint for how these smart cities are truly built from the ground up.
And in the green room, we were talking about another episode that we're going to bring you back for, which is to pull together some people from the various smart city district projects from around the world, including Dubai, Abu Dhabi, South Korea, parts of Asia, other parts of Asia, where there's some big lessons to be learned. When you look at these big projects of scale, they can very quickly change how people live, work, play, recreate. And again, it's a big opportunity, big responsibility, and exciting. All the way around. So again, we saw a little bit of overview in the video. I know you've got a couple slides that will continue to provide some context. So I'm going to bow out and let you go through these slides. And then we're going to come back and have a great conversation.
Okay. Sounds good. Thanks, Jim. And we'll make it quick. Cause I'm eager to kind of chat with Jim and really, make this hopefully conversational, but just by way of background for those on the line who aren't familiar, hopefully the video that Jim played was helpful. National Landing is just is this rebranding, sort of a new community that's forming around Legacy Pentagon City, Legacy Crystal City, and Legacy Potomac Yard here in the the heart of the nation's capital, just across the river from Capitol Hill, directly adjacent to the Pentagon, and also adjacent to Reagan Airport. And so you look at this environment, it's anchored by Amazon HQ2, which is a fantastic foundational element of this district, also anchored by Virginia Tech. These are fantastic partners of ours. What we really have is a microcosm of any urban place around the world. It's a highly curated, mixed-use physical environment, and my colleagues who are actually building this city have built a legacy of building amazing physical places and neighborhoods that people want to live, work, and play and learn in. And when we look at that, that legacy of actually building neighborhoods and building cities and apply that scale at the scale in which we're operating here in National Landing, we really have effectively a mini city. That's as we look at sort of the smart city opportunity, what we're excited about is activating this community, this neighborhood digitally in order to spur innovation, in order to improve the live, work, play experience. And we'll talk more about how we think about that and what that means. But hopefully this gives you a sense of scale and how we compare to some other large neighborhoods around the country. When we looked at the opportunity set for National Landing, and we use the term smart city, what we're really focused on is this concept of everything intelligently, seamlessly, and securely connected in real time. And this is the vision that my leadership has been sort of valiantly leading the charge on for several months, actually years now. What we're excited about is fundamentally reimagining the type of infrastructure that should go into mixed-use environments and sort of cities like this one, in order to not only sort of lay a canvas for enterprise innovation and for startup communities to very, very quickly be able to try and test new products and services. We also think fundamentally it'll improve and serve as the sort of the basis for a net new or a highly new and exciting consumer experience, again, for the people who live, work, and play. And so when we get into the conversation with Jim, I'm sure hopefully we'll talk a little bit more about how we view this, but we really, you see on the slide here, think that we can enable a number of use cases and sort of, experiences that will change the way, hopefully, people actually interact with the built environment and also amongst themselves in our community. And this is, I think, critical to everything we're doing. And so in order to actually stimulate enterprise innovation and just, like I said, the consumer experience, what we're really focused on is delivering world-class infrastructure, both wireline and wireless across the entire district. We're really focused on delivering everything you see on the right-hand side of the stack. It starts with a deep and robust fiber network across the entire district. We're also excitingly bringing edge data centers into the market, which we think will be fundamental to the use cases that some of the next generation of wireless technologies will actually bring to life. And as we go up the stack from fiber to the NLEXs, which are edge data centers, we also are very excited, of course, about 5G. And there's a lot of talk about 5G, but the bottom line is not all 5G is the same. And we're focused on working with partners, obviously carriers and others, to really help deploy world-class 5G across the districts in what we hope will be a rising tide raises all boats endeavor. 5G across the district, we think will be a key part of just differentiating National Landing and creating an innovation district. And then if we move into the DAS layer, similarly, we want a seamless experience between the indoor environment and the outdoor environment. And that's how we think about outdoor 5G and then bringing it indoors with robust DAS technologies. And last but not least, as we invested in and are investing in all the physical infrastructure from fiber to the NLEX to 5G and DAS, we also went out and bought CBRS spectrum, which is what Jim and myself and others were talking about when we were on RealCom last time. And we are actually the majority holder of PAL licenses of CBRS in Arlington, and we have three PALs in Alexandria, which are the two jurisdictions that National Landing spans. And so we can talk more about how we think about CBRS, but it's certainly not because we want to deploy our own networks or be a service provider, but really a guiding principle throughout all of our infrastructure investments is that of digital placemaking. We just want to be able to amenitize this environment, lay the groundwork, so to speak, and put in the infrastructure for what we think is the fourth utility, which is telecommunications and robust connectivity, so that our tenants and the people who live, work, and play in this environment have that amenity, that utility at their beck and call, easy to access with world-class network topologies and world-class capabilities in order to really usher in this next wave of the economy and the next wave of experiences that we think are coming down the pike. And last but not least, we to couple our investments in the physical connectivity infrastructure, we're also now embarking on sort of in the early innings of embarking on a sort of a digital solution, a platform solution that will really be the hub and sort of the heart of delivering the experiences and actually, allowing both from an operational standpoint as well as sort of a tenant and user standpoint, actually bring some of these experiences. And so that's all hopefully that those couple of slides really just helped. Here's another couple of the use cases that we are, contemplating. What we really think just in summary is that we have an opportunity here with our scale, with our sort of mixed use environment to really reimagine how how technology and connectivity is deployed and then what actually could exist in the built environment leveraging that same connectivity infrastructure.
And I apologize for trying to have you explain a project of that level of complexity, which could literally take months, if not years, in a few short minutes. But I mean, this conversation could go in so many directions, but I wanted to lay the groundwork and have you show the level of thought that went in and how significant the telecommunications infrastructure is in this project. It is the foundation, right? And from that foundation, everything from the fiber optics and the high speed broadband to the wireless strategy, you can't have a project of this size and scope without that. Is that a fair statement?
That's exactly right, Jim. And you said it in the beginning, it's hard to describe in such a short amount of time sort of all the thinking and the thesis work that we've done to get to this point. But in a nutshell, you know, on the back of Amazon and on the back of Virginia Tech, who are, you know, really strong anchor tenants, and create a once in a generation opportunity just, you know, in and of themselves. The team, and again, this predates me, thought what's next. And what was next, as they thought about this, was robust infrastructure to start with, and really looking at how we can, you know, take a district-wide approach to some of these investments that otherwise, you know, others and, you know, even ourselves might otherwise take in a building by building approach. We can sort of zoom out.
So in a world where everybody wants tech tenants, right, because they represent growth, how are other competitors going to lure tenants away from a project like this when this infrastructure is exactly what they're looking for? I mean, does it become a very big advantage for you and a disadvantage for other building owners who don't have this type of architecture in place?
Jim, we're in our early discussions with, you know, our existing tenants and, you know, prospective ones, we're getting a lot of positive feedback on how we're laying out this infrastructure. And I think there's a broad recognition that, you know, telecommunications and connectivity writ large is in fact a fourth utility. And just like we deliver, you know, power, water, gas, you know, we fundamentally believe that fiber and world-class networks are required to usher in this next generation of economic growth and competition on a global scale and in a global marketplace. And so we're focused on bringing that amenity to our tenants and to this district. And we'll have to see whether others, if our competitors sort of, you know, how they respond or how
you're
others.
The first person to install the elevator in the building. Let's see if people use it.
That's right.
We're going to take a brief break, hear from one of our sponsors, and then we're going to come back with some more great conversation. All right. Back with Verdun Chaudhry of JBG Smith, talking about National Landing. All right, so we're going to run out of time again, so I'm going to try to get to some quick questions. Where did it start? Where did the vision, where was the first step of this long journey? Was it an individual? Was it a group of individuals? Where did the vision come from?
Yeah, great question, Jim. And again, a lot of this predates me, but what, you know, the story goes that after the Amazon and Virginia Tech deal came together, and in addition, you know, of course, coordination with all the municipalities, some of our leadership, particularly Evan Regan Levine, Adam Rashid, who co-head our Smart City Initiative, even all the way up to our CEO, Matt Kelly, started thinking and asking the question of what's next. And the thought was there ought to be something we can do to leverage our holdings, our control, our scale, and our density in really bringing together National Landing at a district-wide level in order to stimulate an innovation district, to stimulate what we hope to be a smart city. And that led the team down, you know, a very rigorous path of you know, research, brought on McKinsey, brought on Accenture, brought on other world-class partners to start really evaluating what is it that we could do, what could we, and who could we partner with. In addition, of course, you know, the story would not be what it is without Amazon, without Virginia Tech, without the municipalities, without these partners, to kind of come together, have JBG, you know, make certain investments in the neighborhood to stimulate, like I said, an innovation district.
So that's my next question, is the team. How do you start assembling? What were the first steps? Where's the first call you make? We already mentioned Accenture, McKinsey, some leading consulting companies. How did the team come together, including yourself?
So, you know, to the great credit of JBG, the leadership and the core team, we've been very methodical about figuring out, you know, what our plans ought to be, and then slowly moving from sort of high level planning to strategy. And now we actually are just crossing the chasm from strategy to execution. And along the way, our principle, you know, guiding principle has always been, you know, to leverage world-class partners and realize that, you know, it takes a village to build a smart city. So we, you know, like I said, the team engaged McKinsey early on, Accenture early on. I actually come by way of Accenture and got one thing led to the next, and I couldn't be more thrilled to now be a part of this team. And now as we're moving into execution, we continue to work with our world-class partners. We brought on Jacobs Engineering to help us actually get our, some of our designs together. And we'll continue to engage with service providers and others who really we want to partner with and be in the tent with us in order to actually deliver those different layers of the stack and then ultimately the-
So where are you today? I mean, has construction started? Are there buildings that need to be torn down? Are you gonna be retrofitting? Is this new construction? Where does it stand today?
So there's a lot of activity going on in the physical environment today. There are buildings that are coming up. There are, in fact, one of our flagship residential projects has broken ground. It's 1900 Crystal. So the physical environment is well underway. From a smart city standpoint, we are just now sort of very much moving into engineering designs and effectively what we call execution on all of our smart city plans and strategy. We've sort of spent quite a bit of time thinking critically about how we would design our network infrastructure, how we would sort of design our role in the ecosystem. And now we're actually bringing on the partners and service providers to deliver the smart city infrastructure. And a lot of that is alongside the construction activities that our development teams are doing day in and day out across the district.
So I hate to do this, but we only got 2 minutes. What does life look like in National Landing 3 years from now? What does it feel like? What does it look like?
Great question. So, 3 years from now, I think you and I, Jim, we can go. We'll be able to have some food and some beverages at the water park. Most likely, a lot of the Amazonians will be in town. A lot of the JBG buildings will have be quite populated, and our central sort of retail hub will be in sort of in fully activated as well. So I think what you'll see in 2 to 3 years is a mixed use community, a mixed use neighborhood that's very vibrant and world class from a neighborhood standpoint. And right alongside that, our smart city investments will be very tangible as well. You'll be able to feel and see the effects of next generation technology afforded by private networks, world-class consumer.
So will the ladies be able to go to lunch and have their purses 3D printed?
We'll have to see how far we get along with 3D printing, but we'll probably have some fun, outdoor use cases in building. What I'd say is in 2 or 3 years, there'll be a robust neighborhood. And there'll be a seamless experience for people who live, work, and play there, whether they're in a building, in their residence, in the office, or in one of our beautiful public spaces.
Awesome. Well, Verdun, we are going to have you back if you'll have us, because this story is huge. It's global. It's going to continue to evolve. And I really appreciate you willing to share with our audience. So thank you so much. And I'm looking forward to our next conversation.
Thank you, Jim. Pleasure as always.
Awesome. You be well. Have a great weekend. All right. Oh, gosh. Where does the time go? We decided to have only one guest so we could devote the conversation to Verdun, and you saw how hard that was. So let's bring on Howard, who's going to bring us our weekly news and tell us what the heck is going on in the world of real estate technology. And Howard, I'm going to leave you have at it, and I'll be back in a few.
Thanks, Jim. And Verdun, great show today. So every week we highlight a few stories from our weekly news briefing that's released every Thursday at 11 a.m. Pacific. And our lead story this week is second of a two-part series by John Hester, owner and chief consultant at Hester Consulting. Now in part one, John reported how AI in the cloud could essentially replace hardware like gateways as the integration and data normalization layer for smart buildings and IoT systems. And this software approach now made it much easier and less expensive to install. And the cloud data capabilities have improved functionality vastly. So in his second installment, John looks at these advances and how they can produce cost savings with less hardware, ability to automate, automatically tag points, ability to remotely install and maintain systems, and the elimination for the most part of a lot of the meters, not to mention the ability to easily integrate microservices like specialized analytics. So this is where the MSI, the Master Systems Integrator, or more specifically, the Building Master System Integrator, brings in not only facility system integration skills, but also the IT knowledge to make it all happen. It's a great article. Also look for a reprint of both parts one and two in our Edge magazine coming out in a few weeks. Next story. So Caruso's in the news again. Caruso's been developing some of the most stunning experiential mixed-use developments in Southern California, like The Grove in LA, the Americana at Brand and Palisades Village. Now, they just announced they're going to be the first to accept Bitcoin as rent payment for both their residential and retail properties. They partnered with Gemini, a cryptocurrency exchanging custodian. They made a significant investment in Bitcoin. Now, this is the opening chapter of Caruso using crypto and non-fungible tokens and blockchain applications in their properties to create more engaging experiences for their visitors and their tenants. So more to come on this. Finally, responding to the rapidly evolving class of virtual collaboration tools, two industry giants, Microsoft and Cisco, seem to be on diverging paths. They both recognize hybrid workplace is going to be the operating mode going forward, and that the flexibility of hybrid is going to have distinct advantages over 100% in office or 100% remote only. Now, Cisco's efforts are focused through WebEx on a better understanding of the remote individual's unique needs, how they're managed, how they can create a better hybrid work environment, where Microsoft, via Teams, are focused more on traveling, making traveling digitally indistinguishable from physically traveling. And I think that more than being mutually exclusive, both approaches are going to be pretty complementary. So Cisco's doubling down on making WebEx more of a management and employee development tool, where Microsoft is moving more toward the virtual experience to transcend time and space and feel more like you're physically there. So this is worth a read to better understand these potential direct trajectories of both these collaboration tools and how they'll be developing over the coming months and years. Unfortunately, I'm out of time, but there's much more in the weekly briefing.
And in line with that story, Howard, we've got our invitation-only event, Hybrid, coming up next week in LA, where we're going to continue our journey of the hybrid experience. So it's here to stay, and I'm excited about what we're doing next week, and we'll be able to report to our audience hopefully soon on how that event went. So thank you for your news, and look forward to seeing you soon.
Thanks, Jim.
Okay. All right. Well, another great week, another show that literally is following the trends around the world, following the biggest, smartest, most innovative projects. But before we wrap, we're going to hear from our final sponsor, and I will be back to tell you about next week's show. All right. Well, I would like to say thank you to our production team, specifically Nancy leading the way, to our guest, Verdun Chaudhry, Howard for the news, the entire RealCom team. You always do such a great job each week pulling these RealCom lives off. And next week, a continued phenomenal conversation. We're going to be heading to Texas, where we've got a low voltage hotel. We've been talking about low voltage as being the next big thing. We talk about sustainability, the ability to run buildings on 9-volt batteries. We are going to have Farouk Aslam from Sinclair Holdings, and we're going to talk about what could be one of the most innovative hotels in the world. So with that, I would like to say goodbye to you all. Have a great weekend, and we will see you next week on RealCom Live. Be well.